Okay. Thank you, Elizabeth. Any other announcements? No. Mr. Schaefer? It's going to take a lot of courage for her to come. That's good. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Okay.
And
well, good. That is. Well, let's use that as our lead into prayer and praise requests. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Okay. All right. Mike. Praise the Lord. Any other prayer or praise concerns? Okay. In the Yes, ma'am. That's what I tell my children all the time. That's why you know I'm here for. Thank you. Yes, Terry. Any other prayer concerns? Yes, Mr. Shea. Okay. Any other prayer concerns? Any other prayer concerns? If not, let's take a moment of silent prayer to open our hearts and our minds to hear the Lord's word. Amen. Will you please stand for our call to worship? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord our God has brought you into a good land.
A land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys, hills. A land with wheat and barley, grains and fruit of every kind. A land where bread is not scarce, and lack nothing.
When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Do not say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.
We will remember the Lord our God, for it is he who gives us the ability to produce wealth and so confirms the covenant he swore to our ancestors.
Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him, and it will go well with you in the land.
Number 103, blessed be the name of the Lord.
All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his son for man to die, that he might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. At God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Reverend Bert Owen is with us this morning. He's been introduced, and he's going to offer our invocation, opening prayer, and then lead us into the Lord's Prayer. Brother Bert.
Praise for a day of honoring our mothers,
you may be seated. I will give a word of explanation for the screen this morning, or the technology. Sam left town. We forgot his passwords. And at 11:30 last night, we were scrambling around trying to find copies of the creed and adjust them to our particular way, and a new copy of the Lord's Prayer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I thank Ted for helping do this, but Sam's in South America, and we forgot his password, and we didn't want to call Savetta because she had just had a baby. So we'll get back to a better screen maybe next week, but this one we might even learn to enjoy this one, mightn't we, Ted, after we worked so hard last night.
It's also on page 716 in your hymnal, if you want to turn into your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Christian Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Now, if you'll join me for our prayer of confession, it is in unison. Almighty God, we are thankful for the promise of Your Word, which tells us that if we confess our sin, we are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we bow before You and humbly recall how we have failed You. Hear us now as in silence we confess our sin to You. With grateful hearts and a desire to live as Jesus lived, we thank You for Your forgiveness and for restoring us to a right relationship with You and each other. Amen.
I may insert here, let's pause a moment. We all may have sins to confess.
Amen.
I kind of felt bad asking y'all to pray for Grandma because I was sitting out there next to Larry and Andrea, and I looked up and I thought, where's Sam? And then I went, oh, I forgot. He asked me to lead the singing today. moving right along, let's turn to hymn 176. King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget Thy crown and brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget Thine agony, lest I forget Thy love for me.
Sentence, let be to God for his incredible thanks be to God for his incredible gift. Will our ushers please come forward?
Good morning. Well, yesterday, everybody knows what happened, I guess. Savetta had Anna, and my mother, Savetta got to stay down there at the farm with my parents for when she went to camp. And so my mother feels about Savetta like we do. And yesterday was my mother's birthday. So Mama's still going through some grieving. And so it was really great to be able to tell that to my mother, you know, that Anna was born on her birthday. So that was super. Savetta asked me to do this song, and you don't say no to Savetta. So. And so, men, when you hear this song, don't take offense. Because when we see a baby, everybody kind of has a different perspective. Little kids see one thing, older folks see one thing. But mothers have a perspective that the rest of us will never grasp. So. Neighbor sees a baby, brother sees a playmate, mama sees a miracle, sister sees a doll to dress, preacher sees a family blessed, mama sees a miracle. She sees it like no other, no one knows quite like the mother, that miracle of life. Everyone can feel the joy, we see a baby girl or boy, but mama sees a miracle. Daddy sees a mouth to feed, Grandpa sees a legacy, Mama sees a miracle. Grandma sees a kid to spoil, Teacher sees new fertile soil, Mama sees a miracle. She sees it like no other, no one knows quite like the mother, that miracle of life. Everyone can feel the joy, we see a baby girl or boy, but mama sees a miracle. Doctor sees a job well done, cousin sees some future fun, mama sees a miracle. Heaven sees God's image there, the family sees an answered prayer, mama sees a miracle. She sees it like no other, no one knows quite like the mother, that miracle of life. Everyone can feel the joy, we see a baby girl or boy, but mama sees a miracle. Mama sees a miracle. Mama sees a miracle.
It's now children's time. If the children want to come up front with Miss Andrea, and we will have children's church today, so they can go out for children's church.
Good morning.
going to sing. I called my mom yesterday, and I said, "Mama, what's your favorite hymn?" She said, "Oh, I'll have to think about that and call you back." So she called me back in about an hour, and she gave me four different hymns. And it's funny because all four of those were four that I had picked out myself to think about singing today. And one of them was the one that I sang during the offertory, "Now Thank We All of Our God." And she chose that one because of the strength. That's a very strong hymn. The words are very strong, and it's very uplifting. Another one that we both chose was "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee." And as soon as I heard that Savetta's baby was here, I decided that's it. That's the one. Because today it's a joyful day for so many reasons. We're all honoring our mothers, and one special new mother in the hospital who we've all been praying for, and thank God that baby's here. And, you know, I went to a family reunion 2 weekends ago with my mom, and I brought home a lot of newspaper clippings from when I was a child and through my marriage, and I took them to work with me this week and showed them to a friend of mine who's a single parent. She has two beautiful children that she's done a wonderful job raising. And unfortunately, her parents, did not grow up in a happy home life. But she has managed to give her children a beautiful upbringing, and they're in a happy home. But I was so flattered when, after she looked at those clippings, she wrote me an email. She said, "Julie," she said, "I hope you realize how blessed you've been, because it's very obvious from those photos that you grew up in the perfect 1950s happy, loving family." And she's exactly right. My parents are wonderful. I lost my dad a little over 5 years ago, and I miss him every day, because we sang together a lot. And I continue to sing in his honor and in God's honor, because I've been blessed with a gift, and I need to share it. But I've also been blessed with a wonderful mother who taught me to love, who taught me to be joyful, to enjoy nature, to love my fellow man, and to reach out and help others. She's 80. She'll be 81 in July. And she volunteers 2 days a week at the Ronald McDonald House. She tutors a little Hispanic kindergartner. She volunteers in her church. She's given umpteen gallons of blood because she has a rare blood type. I'm so proud of her, because she has kept herself so busy since my dad's been gone, and she's done it by helping others. And God continues to bless her with good health. And so this is in honor of my mom and all you moms out there and all your mothers. We'll be okay, Millie.
To the sun above.
ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love art thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals join the happy chorus when the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
Thank you, Julie. Our scripture lesson is from Proverbs 31, chapters 10 through 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than the rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you'll turn in your bulletin, there's a litany for Mother's Day. If you'll join with me. Mothers come in many different forms, and today we celebrate them all.
Thank God
for mothers. Everyone here is either a son or a daughter.
Thank
God for my mother. For those women who have joined God in heaven and whom we miss dearly here on earth, thank God for the mothers of the past. For every woman who is working day and night to raise her children right now, thank God for the mothers of today. For all the women who are expecting but aren't quite mothers yet, thank God for soon to be mothers. For the women who took in other children through adoption and foster care, thank God for mothers with hearts so big. For those women who have lost a child to death and must carry on, thank God for mothers who are strong. For all the women who have desperately wanted to have children of their own, but chose instead to mother everyone else, thank God for the mothers in spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the women who have influenced our lives in so many ways. We pray that we will honor them in everything we do. Amen.
Brother Ray?
Mother's Day, and we have paid much tribute to mothers this morning and our own mothers, and we hope to be able to add to that, if you will. As we read Proverb 31, is there anyone that you have known that is able to live up to everything mentioned there? That writer was writing about an ideal situation. It's dangerous to speak about mothers and motherhood because there are so many different views, and our view of motherhood is probably based on our own raising or our own mother. So many different situations that we came out of. Years ago, at the El Dorado, Arkansas church, we were honoring mothers, and I really got into trouble. I got into trouble with my wife, and I don't think anybody in the church knew it. But we honored mothers, oldest mother, youngest mother, mother with the most children, mother with the most children present. Do you remember this, Carol? Okay. Churches have done that, and the mothers, just mothers. And there was a woman in the church who had been a school teacher but was childless. She had married, and they spent their life ministering to school children. He was an agricultural teacher in high school, and she was an elementary teacher. And when we knew them, they were retired. They were in the church, very active, volunteer work at the hospital, etc., one of the pink ladies in this. And somewhere in that service, I got the bright idea to call attention to Ms. Ludie Newton, or Ms. Ludie Newton. And I did. And I used the phrase something like, a woman who has been a mother to so many children through the classroom, etc., etc. We got home. Maybe on the way home, I caught holy torment because I had put that woman on the spot and made her feel bad. But I've been vindicated. Even with this litany, maybe I found this litany by Peggy Emerson, and the last leader portion speaks of, and we want to give honor to, for the women who have desperately wanted to have children of their own, but chose instead to mother everyone else. And so, even though I was out of order, maybe way back then, if that be so, I feel vindicated this morning because Peggy Emerson is out of order also. Now, Carol has forgotten that, and that's just as well. Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up today. But there are sacred subjects that we speak of, but we have to tiptoe around them. And maybe speaking of motherhood would be one of those. But I've never been known to tiptoe too carefully, even through the tulips. But one of them is apple pie. And that's a sacred subject in the United States, right? Apple pie, Chevrolet, baseball, and motherhood. And baseball has kind of fallen into questions about some of the players, the good players, and then Chevrolet is having some trouble now, and Pontiac's gone, and Oldsmobile is gone. I own those two kind of cars, and they wiped them out. I guess I didn't have them. Apple pie is still good, and mother's hood is still something. You have to be careful to talk about it, but still holds a high spot in our thinking, I believe. As we come today to talk about mothers, one of the dangers is when we go home and when the children are gone and Carol says, "Now, Larry, when are you going to practice what you preach?" And then she'll be nice about it and be a great wife. And we're going to talk about the great wife. Now, the Proverbs this morning that we've read, the proverb of the verses from Proverb 31, if anybody can live up to it, I want to meet that person. And when do they rest? When do they have time to go to the spa or get their toenails painted or get their hair done? They're working all the time. It seems like day and night. And maybe some people can meet this, but it's very difficult. As I think about motherhood, I think of Jesus and His mother, and I think I said last week, if we don't preach about Jesus, we hadn't really had church. So even talking about motherhood, we got an example of Jesus. Jesus, the first miracle He performed, it was at the request of His mother. And He kind of questioned, He kind of hum-hawed, did He not? What does that have to do with me? Would that be kind of questioned His mother's request? But He went ahead and responded to it. It might have been not have been something that He thought He should have done. Maybe He was a little... Was Jesus ever put out? Maybe He was a little... Was Jesus ever frustrated? Whatever. She asked Him to do this. Maybe He should have thought of... Maybe He thought He should have thought of it first or been more observant. Boy, I'm getting on dangerous ground there, I know. But anyhow, mother said, "You're about to run out of wine, son. Would you make us some?" And He did, out of water. First miracle recorded, John chapter 2. Then in John 19, we move to the end of His life, or end of His ministry, as He hung on the cross. And He took time, through His suffering even, to acknowledge His mother and to make arrangements for her care, I think. Entrusting her keeping, we believe, to John, the beloved disciple. Mothers. Thinking about your mothers. And I know Ms. Linder just went home last week to have the memorial service in the burial for her mother. I still remember, Bert, coming to Margaret Hank Church for your mother's funeral. And then for Patrick's mother, we came to Paducah for that service. Almost 2 years ago, we journeyed home for the funeral of my mother. And the last time I'd been there since that. And I went back this week. And surprised enough, my sister called and said, "Did you go by the cemetery?" And I said, "Uh-uh. Leave that up to somebody else." Maybe I should have, but I didn't. Anyhow, thinking about mothers. They bring tears sometime, and they bring joy sometime. And my mother, as I think about her, my goodness, it was one moment this way and another moment this way. As I think of some of the funny things she did and how strong-willed she was and then how gentle she was. Brian Bill says that by the time a child reaches 18, a mother has had to handle some 18,000 hours of child-generated work. That's 1,000 hours a year. That's a lot of hours. Do you believe it? Yeah, I believe it. And fathers, but we may get 200 of child-generated hours of work. But the mother gets 1,000 a year. Says, women who have never have had children to enjoy the equivalent of an extra 3 months a year in leisure time. I bet Joy could respond to that, couldn't you, Joy? Three at a time. And one already here, okay? Somebody told about a junior high school teacher who who lectured on the properties of a magnet. And he talked to the class about it. And the next day, he was going to give a quiz. So the first question he asked, it was a name this object answer. Says the next day he gave a question. He says, my name begins with the letter M. It has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I? And half of the class wrote, mother. There was a four-year-old child talking to her father, and the father was trying to explain about marriage to a four-year-old. He got out the wedding album. He explained the entire wedding. And then the child looked at him and said, as she pointed to one of the wedding pictures, Daddy, is that when Mommy came to work for us? And it's been said that if Daddy ain't happy, who cares? If Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And we know that one, do we not? It was attributed to Ralph Waldo Emerson that, and this is of a serious note, I think, men are what their mothers make them. And it's kind of a put down for preachers, but a Spanish proverb says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. And I would believe that too. The writer of Proverbs, or Proverb 31, wrote about a virtuous woman. And some time ago, I'm not sure how many months ago, somebody wrote a note and asked me, would it be possible to preach on Proverbs 31, 10, verses 10 and following? And that note stayed on my desk. And believe it or not, it came to the top every once in a while. And I'd lay it aside, and I chose to use that for the basis of the sermon this morning. And basically that's what we are responding to, but it's so appropriate for today. Mother's Day. And we have given, I think, appropriate honor and response to our mothers. And one writer called this description of an ideal woman. Well, if it's an ideal woman, I think it would also apply to an ideal mother, because it talks about the ideal woman being a wife and about her children. Ricky Burke gave me an outline. I borrowed an outline from him. Didn't like what he said under each point of his outline, but I liked his outline. And one thing that he said, one point of his sermon, said that she was a valuable wife. And got to thinking about this. And there's a lot of single mothers. And sometimes we kind of talk of the single mother or the unmarried mother and kind of talk down to them or about them. But there are a lot of single mothers. And there always have been. It's not just our generation. We want to act like our generation is the only generation that's experienced this or that or something else. And we refer to that about single mothers. But the ideal situation is to have two parents in a family. That's ideal. A family headed by a father and a mother. But this is not an ideal world that we live in. And there are some single mothers, maybe by choice. There are some single mothers by, they can't help it. They can't help it. My mother, at 34 years old or thereabout, she was left with three young children. Her husband had died. My father had died. She did the best she could. It wasn't perfect. I remember some of the things she said. She said she would never take her children and move in the house with anybody else, as many people suggested. And I think that had happened to her. And she always felt kind of out of place, or she indicated that. And she would say, I may have to move out under a shade tree, but I'll never move in the house with somebody else and take my children. And I would have these visions of us living under a shade tree. I was hoping it would be an oak tree, but I can see our bed over here and our fireplace around here. I don't know how it would stay warm, but I could just see us living out under a tree, because what Mother said is what she made every effort to do. And, you know, an eight-year-old boy could think, my goodness, that'd be terrible. That'd be worse than living on the porch and having your washing machine on the front porch, wouldn't it? And I think we did that for a while. Finally got it to the back porch. Husband and wife do make a team. On the same team, they should have the same goals, being to build, provide for, and maintain a godly family. The writer of Proverbs talk about the ideal woman being a vigorous worker. And what I've already said about the work that a mother has to do just because she's the mother. Yes. She works hard at home. She works hard on the job. And she even works hard. I get behind. This is not, nothing has gone like, well, about half of this service didn't go like I thought it would, right? Okay. It's going fine. Okay. A valuable wife, a vigorous worker, and then does she ever read that passage again and see how hard she does work? Even when she shops, it's work. Verse 13 through 16. And then she is a virtuous woman. The ideal mother is a woman of virtue. And I realized that everybody didn't have a loving and caring mother. And I used to read that passage from Isaiah. I said, can God forget you? Then they refer, it's in Isaiah, it says, then can a mother forget her child? And then it says something about, well, a mother may forget her child, but God won't forget his people. So some people didn't have the ideal situation to grow up in. But sometimes I find those children pay the greatest honor and respect to their mother. Our situation wasn't the greatest. But from my mother's side, she did all that she could. Children came first. Children came first. I felt sorry for my stepfather. She, mother married again a little over 2 years after my father died, 2 years plus, and I felt sorry for him often. And then other times we would pit them against one another to get our way. 12 and 13-year-old children, 15-year-old children, hopefully we stopped by then. A virtuous woman, a woman who patterned her life after Jesus, who is the Christ. Verse 20 gives a description of the compassion she shows. A compassionate person, a virtuous woman, a compassionate person. Verse 20, let's hear that verse. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And then verse 25 describes the character that she has. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. And then verse 26 says, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. The ideal woman, Christ-like, patterning her life after that of Christ. The ideal mother, and I believe any mother, deserves praise. It feels good to receive praise, and every mother deserves some kind of praise. We can find some good somewhere even if they were not such a good mother. But most of us can really say they deserve praise, and we need to help make them feel good. It honors God. It honors God when we offer praise to our mothers. God has said for us to, one of the biggies, you know, honor our father and mother. One of the big ten. We knew that, didn't we? Thought I'd put it in. And it strengthens, it gives strength to a godly woman. Somebody brags on you, you can do twice as much as you normally would. Can you not? It strengthens godly woman for her children to praise her. Husbands, teenagers, children, we sent them away, but you can tell them, parents, let us offer praise to the women in our lives. In doing so, we will strengthen her, we will honor God, and we will add great joy to our own life. Verse 28 says, her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. He wants to sing 560, and it may not sound much like a Mother's Day song, but it really is. Let's sing verse 1 and 3 and 5. For the beauty of the earth, and part of the beauty of the earth is parent-child family relationships that God has placed us in. 560, 1, 3, and 5. God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ who came to redeem us from sin. Thank you, Lord, for placing us in families that would nurture us and teach us about Him. And Father, would support us in ministry in His name. Bless our time together. Bless our departure. Bless us as we live and try to live up to the ideal life that has been outlined for us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.